Tonight on the Goblin's Corner.
Cursed items.
That's how we roll. 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 That's how we roll.
Welcome to the Goblin's Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight,
we're doing cursed items.
Yeah. The cursed of the cursed.
This is cursed.
Cursed items are, cursed or cursed?
Yes.
Yes, it depends on...
Both are correct.
Both pronunciations are correct, indeed. And cursed items are something that you see in a lot of games, but we feel isn't given enough love.
Yeah.
And so we're going to give you guys a couple of examples that we find amusing.
And a little bit of guidelines.
Guidelines, a little bit of rules that you can use to adapt cursed items or cursed items into your TTRPG of choice. But in addition to that, of course... Every week we have a...
Question of the week.
That's right. So what is our question of the week tonight, Matt?
I'm going to go with two questions of the week. The first one is a super quick one.
Okay. What's the first one?
What's your preference? Cursed or cursed?
Cursed in general vernacular, and then if I'm doing some kind of voice, cursed.
Okay, that's fair.
And that's exactly how I would do it, too.
I think for me... Cursed in usual parlance. If I'm doing gothic horror or, you know, something mummy-ish.
Cursed.
Cursed.
Yeah. I approve of that as well. Yeah. I'm sure somebody will tell us the actual way it's supposed to be pronounced, or maybe it is two ways.
No, I believe both are actually correct.
I'm fine with that. I'm going to definitely state that. It's not like we don't mispronounce stuff anyway.
Correct.
So, all right. So what's the other question of the week?
The actual proper question of the week is... As previously stated, I'll give it moderately around 1,000 times. We're pirates. It's been discussed.
Every day.
So
I mean, you guys see this behind me?
Indeed.
For those of you who haven't watched the YouTube series and are only listening like on Spotify or iTunes, thank you first off, but also I've got a giant pirate flag directly behind me.
It's true. What curse is laid on your treasure map should anyone steal it?
And there definitely would be a curse if someone stole my treasure map.
Yeah.
I would say a plague of crabs. Not the sexual kind.
Right.
Just like sea crabs. They would, in 20 miles radius, they would attract sea crabs to pinch and bite.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
No matter where they went, if they stole my treasure map, a plague of crabs. Now, that could be a bonus if you like crab.
Yeah.
So you never go hungry.
She crab soup every day.
Every day, baby. But in addition to that, dying by crab claw would suck.
Yeah. And it's going to be tough to get sleep.
That is absolutely true, because they will work their way in from the tiniest little...
Oh, yeah, the tiny little ghost crabs.
Little ghost crabs, yeah. To the giant spider crabs, the ones you find in Japan down in the deep ocean stuff. Yep. They look like xenomorphs. Yeah, think about that.
Yeah.
And if you're playing a fantasy game, that's right, giant crabs.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, they're going to get you. Chomp you. So that's the curse. That's it. It just attracts from 20 miles away.
And every God forbid you've got a megafauna crab somewhere in your world.
Oh, and I would.
Clack, clack, clack.
Mm-hmm. And suddenly the island moves, and you find out the island was a giant crab.
And then your ship is no more.
And nothing. There you go. It's just flotsam, just floating on the ocean. And they would say, damn, if only I hadn't stole that treasure map from Eric. Well,
the Dread Pirate Eric.
That's right. Yeah, obviously Dread. And dead, probably, because if you stole my treasure map, I would probably be dead.
Yes.
All right. So your curse on your treasure map would be?
My curse is a little less obvious at first.
Well, you go for a little more subtlety than I do.
But my curse is chock full of asshole.
I can't wait to hear this.
Every map, every chart, every astrological marking within 100 feet of the map wearer, map wielder, is erased.
So it just would
continuously.
It would just erase every map that they come into contact with, basically.
Except for the one you're holding, which is mine.
So they really, really want to have that map because, and they better know how to get home.
Ah, see, that's the thing. The map to my treasure only marks the island that it's on and where the treasure is on that island.
That is chock full of asshole. That's well done.
Still got to figure out how to get there, and no map you will ever have will allow you to get to the island because it'll just get erased.
Yeah. Are you a navigator, or perhaps you live on an island? Write to us, info@goblinscorner.com, or you can reach me, eric@goblinscorner.com, or
me, matt@goblinscorner.com.
And of course, you can find us on all the things, such as Discord.
It's true. I've actually been a little more active on
you
Discord
recently. You got on once this week. I was very proud
of you. I've been on three times.
Three times? Well, yes. You know, there you go. Good for you. All right, so we're talking about cursed items for your campaign. It doesn't matter what campaign. Obviously, D&D is a good one.
Sure.
But you can have cursed items in any campaign.
Including sci-fi campaigns.
Oh, yes, 100%.
Because even if you don't have magic, you can still have malevolent technology.
You know, science.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the answer. It's the same answer as magic.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Straight up. Oh, it's an alien artifact. Does crazy shit.
Because science.
Because science. Right. So, first off, why are we going to play with cursed items? Because some people don't.
Right.
And that's fine, too. But we like to. And there's a couple reasons why. The first, obviously.
It's amusing.
It amuses me as a storyteller or DM. And if you do it right, it also amuses your players. And that's something that should be noted. Because cursed items don't always have to just suck. They also should have a little bit of flavor of amusement. It might be irony, or it might just be us being an asshole, but at the same time, it's still amusing.
Absolutely. Keep in mind that irritating and amusing can happen at the same time.
Yes.
We are complex beings, and a lot of the stories we love are stories that provide enough tension for there to be a payoff.
100% on that.
So, and that's part of the reason you use cursed items, right? It's, yep. That's all part of the amusement.
Additionally, a challenge is often a reason to throw a cursed item in. So what I mean by that is challenging the players, or just throwing a challenge into the game, gives some kind of sense of depth or death, depending upon how you look at it, to the game. And it can be a puzzle for the players to figure out, to overcome, might be an obstacle, or if you're the kind of people we play with, a subvert. Puzzle. Yeah, something to subvert and make use of.
Absolutely.
Because nothing, hey, look, it may be a cursed item, but I can guarantee you someone will find a use for it.
Oh, there's a way.
Creative characters will definitely do that. So think about that.
And another reason, which is one of the reasons we do this podcast to begin with.
The primary reason, really.
Right. Flavor and storytelling.
We're all about that flavor. We're all about that storytelling.
The nature of the curse on the item should lend itself to the story of the person or people that laid that curse. It enriches your world. It's another piece of lore in physical form in the, you know, storytelling world.
So it's the old theater adage where, you know, if you're going to throw a prop on stage, you should use it. Same thing comes with anything in storytelling. If you're going to just throw it out there, it should enrich the world. It should be something worthwhile, especially if you're taking the time to get a character's attention.
Sure.
Back it up with some lore.
Yes.
I mean, give a reason for it. They made this item for a reason.
Yeah. It's the reason I don't care for a lot of the straight out of the book cursed items.
Because there's no lore behind them.
Yeah. There's no story. There's no lore. And they're, frankly, a little disappointing and generic.
Yeah. And they were made for that reason. So that storytellers like us could add lore. But we'll show you some ways to do that. And finally, and this is going on that lore, the reason cursed items were made and why you should put them in your game, because wizards are crazy.
Right. This is another point that we like to nail down. If serious world-changing magic exist in an immediate form in this world. Think about what people do with technology for no other reason than they're capable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, provide that exact same line of thinking to magic.
Yeah. You're going to make some kind of magic item that helps yourself. You're not going to lowjack that? Come on.
Yeah.
This is the same group that gave us owlbears and chimeras and floating cities up in the air and stuff like that. You don't think they're going to throw a curse on an item just to really fuck with you? You know they will.
Yes.
Absolutely. I would.
I was waiting for that.
Every day. You could steal my stuff. No way, man. I'm going to curse it. Curse you. In addition to that, curses can happen because of magic and crazy wizards.
Yes.
Something, somebody dies, their soul gets stuck in an item, something happens, an event occurs, could it be a curse? Piss off a deity, could be a curse. Lots of reasons, man. Curses can happen all the time and should in your game.
I actually came up with what realistically would probably be a cursed item earlier today while commenting on someone's video. In passing, one of their characters said, and their character's a little off kilter.
Okay.
Said that the only friend they have is their umbrella. And while it's good company, it's unfortunately a little too anarchic. And that was literally their entire explanation. And so a bunch of people are like, what is an anarchic umbrella? How does that happen? What does it do?
I must know.
So my answer, because my brain is my brain, is the umbrella once belonged to a wizard, and they had a fuzzy little cat. And as his cat got older, he decided that since this was his favorite umbrella and this was his bestest boy, he was going to put the soul of the cat in the umbrella so that the cat could always stay with him. But so that the cat would know that he was thinking about it and paying attention to it, he added detect thoughts to the umbrella.
Okay.
So the cat is getting input. But the only methodology that cats realistically have to interact with the world is eat it, destroy it,
mm-hmm.
beg for its attention, or show its acceptance.
Or flee.
Yeah. But it's an umbrella, so fleeing's not an option.
But it can eat things, because it can open and close.
And so my answer was, it wasn't actually an anarchic umbrella.
It's a cat.
It was just a cat.
I love that. And that's an umbrella. Great, yeah.
But if you stole this umbrella, unknowing...
Oh, you've got a bag full of cats, or in this case, an umbrella full of cats. And that could be all kinds of unpleasantness. I mean, take your average umbrella now. You ever try to open an umbrella when it's raining? It never works. Or it always like pops up or something ridiculous happens, or it catches in your car as you're trying to get out.
So you're saying the ground state of umbrella is at least slightly evil?
Slightly cat-like. Not necessarily evil, but definitely cat-like. Slightly okay. Cat-like. So, yeah, I love that idea. Great. Good explanation, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you.
Yeah. So this is what we're talking about, cursed items. Now, we can give a lot of variety to a cursed item. And this is something, you know, again, we've talked about before. When you're making a magic item, give it a little variety and stuff. So standard cursed item, as you mentioned, it's fine mechanically. But let's talk a little bit about options to enhance those items, or at least make them slightly more interesting. So where do we start, Matt?
Well, first we have to start off with the baseline, which is, what is the curse?
Yeah, what's it do?
Yeah. If it's a cursed item, it has to be cursed in some way. So a curse is generally something that's detrimental, but is it a stat curse? Is it a physical or mental detriment? Or, you know, does it just make you stink?
Yeah.
Or turn you into a newt?
I got better. Yeah, so what kind of curse is it? And this, of course, you know, goes without saying, fit the lore of your game and theoretically the creature or individual that made that cursed item.
Right. And, you know, work with the mechanics of the game.
All right. So we've got the curse. We got to know how strong that curse is. So that'd be the second thing I would come up with.
Sure.
So how detrimental is this curse? Is it a minor curse? You know, you might feel bad, like maybe it changes the color of your underwear or something like that. And you just, oh, man, I really just don't like purple underwear for some reason.
Right? Or it automatically makes it a color that you hate.
Yeah.
Regardless of
whatever color you happen to hate the most at that point, it's the color of the underwear.
Yep.
That would kind of suck, right? If it turns you into underwear, that would really suck because then someone's wearing you as underwear.
Sure. And, you know, that's an amusing example, but it could be far more detrimental than that, right?
It could enslave kingdoms. It could destroy the world, depending upon how powerful this item is. If it's an artifact that's cursed, could be anybody's guess, right?
Right. What if it withers plant life within 5 feet of you? That is a terribly inconvenient curse.
Yeah.
But if it withers plant life within 500 feet of you, that makes you a person that people will gladly kill because you are literally destroying the countryside everywhere mm-hmm. you walk.
Yeah. 5 feet in front of you means you'll never be able to eat a salad.
Right. Yeah.
Hope you like meat. 500 feet in front of you or 5 miles in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a walking path of destruction at that point, and you need to be put down.
Yep.
So definitely ensure your death at that point. So think about strength and how detrimental this thing is. And you were mentioning area of effect.
That's true. So strength would be like a matter of how long does it take for that withering to take effect, right? Is it a couple of days?
Could be immediate.
Yeah. Right. And that's the sliding scale for strength for that example. Size, it would be the next step, right? Is it directly around you? Is it personal, right? Like everywhere your feet step, do you just kill plants? Or is it in an area, 5 feet, 10 feet, 100 feet? Is it regional? Is it a country, right? How big is this curse? Would be determined by what is this curse on? How important is this object?
And it should be noted, you could have a minor effect with a large area that could still be a major curse. So
yes,
if some guy wants to throw eggs at you and it's just, you know, whatever guy in the bar wants to throw eggs at you and that's the curse, not a huge deal, inconvenient, particularly if you're a bard. If everybody in the city wants to throw eggs at you all at once,
that's problematic.
Yeah. You either need to make an omelet really quick with a fireball or you're going to get stoned to death by eggs.
If your cursed item raises the temperature of the area you're in by 1 degree a week.
It's not a big deal.
But if it's for the entire country.
Big deal.
And it takes months to leave the country.
Yeah, global warming, my friend. Yeah, that would suck.
That becomes a big deal. Maybe not in a hurry, but it becomes a big deal.
I'd be in a hurry.
You basically have to constantly be on the move so as to not burn out wherever you're at eventually.
Mm-hmm. And in addition to size, you want to also consider the frequency. So is this a constant effect? Is it timed? So like maybe once every dawn or once a day or something like that? Or maybe it's triggered by something. So maybe only the curse takes effect when you are attacked or you attempt to do something.
Meh.
So a cursed weapon may fail you when you're in the midst of battle, or a cursed object like a cursed carpet of flying might suddenly stop flying when you're, you know, 1,000 feet up in the air. That would suck, right?
What if you had a magic flying item that's afraid of heights? So
it only flies like maybe a few feet above the ground?
Once you attempt to force it to go above a certain height, it just dumps you. It's like, nope, we don't do that.
Yeah, that would suck.
Or an item that screams every time you try and pick a pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Because the wizard who made it just hates thieves. So every time you go to pick a pocket, it's like, thief!
You better have a silence spell up before you even attempt anything. That's how you get around that, see?
Sure. But then you've got to waste a second every time you want to try and steal something. All right, so after that, you've got duration.
How long does the curse last?
Yeah, because if it's at dawn, right, if that's the triggering event and it lasts for 10 minutes, okay, that's inconvenient, but
Kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Lasts for a year and a day.
Every dawn.
That sucks. A lot. Is it once and done? Is it just a take effect once? Or is it, as you mentioned, continually?
You've also got variations.
Okay. What do you mean by variations, Matt?
So what if you've got a werewolf axe and the strength of the curse is based off of the phase of the moon?
So maybe new moon might not be very strong. Full moon works like a charm.
Well, in the case of a curse.
Oh, you might turn into a werewolf.
Sure.
So an axe of werewolf slaying might work sometimes. And then if you get cut by the axe of werewolf slaying, maybe on the full moon, you turn into a werewolf. Get slain by your own axe. Ironic.
Don't you think?
I think it's funny, actually. Yeah, that'd be kind of funny. So can it be alleviated by specific actions as well?
So if you have a curse that gets worse the further the cursed item gets from where it's supposed to. So let's say you've got a chalice that belongs in a temple and your rogue is like, but it's so shiny. I've got to have it. And steals the chalice.
Mm-hmm.
You may not know it's a problem until you're out of the city.
But oh, that would suck.
The further you get from the temple, the worse it gets. The way you alleviate the curse in this instance is you just...
Go back. Yeah. But if you can't go back...
Bad times.
Straight up bad times. Yeah, all day long. And out of luck. Also, requirements are something to consider as well with the cursed item. So does your item only curse those that don't meet specific requirements? So I'll give you an example. Maybe the curse only applies to wizards. Maybe the original item creator hated wizards. If you're a wizard, it curses you. Anybody that's not a wizard, you're fine.
Yeah. Older iterations of Dungeons and Dragons and several other games used to have alignment-based curses all the time.
Oh, yeah. If you're a certain alignment, you get cursed.
If you were evil and you picked up a Holy Avenger, it zorched the crap out of you and stole a level.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. Guaranteed.
Yeah. You too bad. So sad.
Yeah. And so you can do that, but you could also do, like you said, something as simple as what class are you? Alignment? What if... It's an orc weapon, and you're an elf. Could be bad times.
It might be. Maybe you are a different religion.
Sure.
So a different face might have curse items as well. You could have a different emotional state. Maybe you have to be in the right mindset to use the item, and if you're not, you get cursed. Particularly powerful artifacts want you to be in like a specific zone, right? It could be anything, really. It'd be actions. You might have to do a specific thing. You must say the words, the exact words. Otherwise, it won't work.
Sure.
So think about how that applies to your game. And finally, how do you get rid of the curse?
Right.
Because that's always important. Now, you may not be able to ever get rid of the curse, which I would consider to be a major curse.
Yes. Even if it's a minor inconvenience, if it is a curse that cannot be cured in any way, that's still a major curse because of the fact that it is incurable.
Yes. So think of how you can get rid of the cursed item. So it could be a lot of different things.
Right. Now, I will say in that example, use very sparingly.
Yeah.
Very, very sparingly.
Because they can get irritating very quickly with something like that.
Not just use it sparingly, but advertise it abundantly.
So good options all. So let's think about how you can stop that curse. It could be a spell. You could just put it back, as you mentioned.
Right.
You could do a favor, perform some kind of ritual, toss it to a dragon, you know.
Yeah. I mean, one of the traditional ways is for someone to willingly take it from you.
Mm-hmm. Or you have to willingly give something away or do some kind of sacrifice. And of course, when all else fails, a remove curse spell helps.
Sure. Good nerd.
Now, we've got four basic rules that we consider when you're making a cursed item. And there's obviously a lot more, but if you're just going to do some quick and dirty cursed items,
right,
this is the simple way to do this. First off, A, describe the curse, right?
Yeah.
What is it? What does it look like to the players? How is it described? Now, you may just describe the actual item to the players at first, but at some point in history, they're going to do like a lore check, and you need to get that lore to them.
Right. They're going to need to have a way to get the lore, and you need to have that lore ready.
Yes, because if not, then it'll be stumbling, right? It's going to be a little bit of stumbling in the game. There's going to be a little bit of stumbling in the flavor of the campaign. Secondly,
make it flavorful.
Yeah, we all, again, talking about that flavor, right? So what do we mean by making it flavorful, Matt? We've already talked about describing it. What does this entail?
If a group of people or an individual have set a curse on an object, what was the mentality there? What was the reasoning behind it? Why did the curse match the mentality of the people?
Yep.
Tie that all together. Make it make sense.
What was the reason for the items being created?
Right. So a cursed item could be created for one of two reasons. One, the curse is an intentional trap. Or two, the item was created for the benefit of the people who made it, and the curse was to prevent people from taking it.
Yep. Now, this third rule, we like to follow. You don't have to follow it, but you should follow it.
It depends on what type of game you're running.
Make it amusing.
Yeah.
Just make it funny. If it's going to be a detriment, at least have fun with it for people.
If you're running a grimdark campaign, it should not be like waka 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 funny. That's not what we're talking about.
Although if you add the Jabberwock in from Skyrim, I would totally approve in a grimdark setting.
The Jabberwock.
Sure.
You haven't played Skyrim,
have you? No, I have not.
But everyone who has got that.
Good job, guys. Just Matt at GoblinsCorner.com. Explain that joke to me.
Yeah, that and several other games. So, yeah, but if you're playing something very realistic, maybe not so. But in most campaigns, look, you're going to have a detriment. Add a little humor to it. It's going to be funny.
Sure.
It just helps. And finally, if you don't want to make it amusing,
make it epic.
Make it epic. What do you mean by that?
Make the item or even the curse part of the story you're running. Allow it to fit with the personalities or the flaws of the character who is cursed with it.
Yes. So a great example of that is Sirik from the Forgotten Realms. Sirik had a cursed dagger. That cursed dagger has a lot of lore behind it and also fit the mentality of the character playing the archetype.
Yeah. In that theme and in that realm, we've got, you know, a couple of ideas that we'd like to kick around so that, you know, maybe give you some ideas of where we're at.
So we've come up with a couple cursed items for you. It's got description, the curse, how to get rid of the curse, and some lore behind it.
Right.
And Matt, I believe you have the first one. So tell us about, is it Mokmol's Baleful Lantern?
Yes.
All right.
Mokmol.
Mokmol. Tell us about this lantern.
This twisted black lantern with metallic purple runes holds a continuously guttering stub of a purple-flamed candle. The lantern provides no actual illumination. Rather, the wielder and their allies gain dark vision within 60-foot radius of the lantern. Those that already have dark vision can see as if it is brightly illuminated. This item requires attunement.
Cool. So it's a dark lantern, very gothic in nature.
Yep.
What's the curse?
The curse is, at the start of a long rest, roll a d6. On a 1, 3d4 hit dice worth of undead, and that gives you some playroom, right?
Right.
That way it can be a few skeletons or something, a single much worse creature.
Like a wraith or some specter or something like that.
Converge on the wielder and attack the living among the party.
That kind of sucks.
It does.
That's definitely a curse, yeah.
So, the lantern cannot be unattuned or gotten rid of without a remove curse. If the lantern is reattuned, the curse reinstates and the chance of undead and begins again for the next day.
So, you use the lantern, the curse activates, some skeletons or whatnot assail you, try to get rid of it, someone else grabs the lantern, attunes to it, the curse activates again.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, this was a piece of an idea, and I've got a greater storyline sort of curse that goes with it. As above, But also, when the lantern is attuned, the wielder permanently, until a greater restore is cast, but the players don't know that. They're going to have to fiddle around until they find out. Loses 3 hit points.
Ooh. Okay.
Captain Mokmal rises from wherever he was last destroyed and begins to travel towards the players to retrieve his lantern.
I assume he automatically knows where the lantern
at
is.
At all times. Oh, yeah. And on any plane. Characters know something is coming and from what direction, but they do not know its intention or whether it's good or evil.
They just know something's coming for them.
Yep.
And it has to do with the lantern.
If the players willingly return the lantern to the captain, he will reward them with a wish.
Oh. So if your characters are smart and try to engage the captain, everything's great. Get a wish. Cool. Yep. Encounter. If they start fighting them, like the murder hobos they are, things can turn out for the worst.
Yes. Now, in my head, so when I started coming up with this item, this was one of those kind of short stories that writes themselves sort of situations.
Mm-hmm.
The NPC, should you decide to use this or want to, is a pirate captain who is a genie warlock and an undead air genasi.
I love this. Yeah. I want to know more about this captain. You need to write this guy up. This is cool.
I actually have started writing him up because there's actually a whole story that goes with him. Like I said, it was one of those times where my ADD kicked in and my brain was just like, this is what we're writing.
He's saying something we need to pop out as a novel or maybe some kind of adventure.
Sure.
Yeah. Wait for that, guys. All right. We're going to get to a couple more cursed items, but we'll be right back.
After these messages.
This is a commercial break. If you guys would like to hear us review something like a product or service, or if you'd like us to cover something like a topic,
or if you'd like to sponsor an episode, we'd love to hear from you and have you contact us at info@goblinscorner.com.
So write to us and maybe we'll talk to you. Maybe not.
And we're back.
Welcome back.
So we're talking cursed items, and we gave you guys a couple of reasons to make cursed items, and in addition to that, a couple of options that we like, and Matt also has jumped in and given us a delightful cursed item from Captain, what was the name again? Captain
Mokmal.
Mokmal, yeah. Cursed item, and I've got a couple as well, so we're going to jump in, do a couple more cursed items for you guys, just for inspiration, and if you guys want to use them, you're more than welcome to as well.
Indeed, so you've got a... Nail Foams?
Nail Foams Elixir of Health.
Okay.
Yes.
Tell me what this is about.
So, this small health potion looks and feels like a regular potion of Elixir of Health, with the one exception that it has a slightly coppery taste to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, looks like an Elixir of Health.
Tastes like blood.
Tastes slightly like blood. Just a little bit.
Okay.
Once used, it confers the same abilities as an Elixir of Health for its type. So, major or minor, whatever that happens to be. Except that it heals the maximum amount of damage. So you don't need to roll. It just heals the maximum amount it would normally heal.
Sounds great.
It does. Until the curse. After the first rest the drinker takes, the curse takes effect. A sudden, violent craving for the flesh and blood of living humanoids. Should the user resist, the drinker's maximum health drops by the same amount the elixir healed each night. So, consider this. You're wounded. You find an elixir of healing in a bag of in Dragon's Hoard or whatnot. Happens to be this cursed elixir of health. You drink it. Feel great. Wake up in the morning going, I want my steak extra bloody.
Sure.
The next
and
night.
And made out of people.
And made out of people. Next night, you start feeling worse because your maximum health is dropping and it just keeps getting worse.
Sure.
Now, consumption of living humanoid flesh will halt the progression, but it will not stop the curse. Remove curse can, though.
Gotcha.
Because, you know, it's just a healing potion. Should the drinker of Nailfalm's Elixir of Health die from the curse, he or she rises the next night as a greater ghoul. Flavorful.
Sure.
Slightly amusing. To me, anyway.
Sure.
Yeah. So, and the story behind it, or the lore, Nelfum was a cleric of the Forgotten God who sought to create better healing for the ailing people of the ancient city of Hinn. Using banned techniques and information from other planes of existence, he created an elixir which indeed healed far better than normal healing elixirs. Healed great.
Sure.
It's just one slight problem. However, by using forbidden lore, the elixir allowed the corruption of distant and foul planes to add a unfortunate side effect, shall we say.
Sure.
What would you say it was?
I would say that it is a blessing if you love necromancy.
Blessing in disguise?
Well, if you love necromancy.
Sure. Legends say Nelfum gathered hundreds of ailing citizens to demonstrate his elixir. Yeah. You see where this is going.
Necropolis.
Uh-huh. And due to his ministrations, the city of Hinn was razed by ghouls shortly thereafter, several days thereafter. Nelfum himself tried to create an antidote to the elixir, which was also corrupted, and he became a lich. There you go. Hinn now exists in legends as a necropolis, as well as a story against forbidden lore.
Sounds fun.
Flavorful, amusing, yeah. And there you go.
And realistically, should you ever, your players ever find themselves in Hinn, A, watch out for the potions, but B, almost the entire town has been unlooted because it is filled with greater ghouls and a lich.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you decide to risk it, there's big risk, big reward there.
It's true. Now, you've got a never-ending bottle of wine called Vino Veritas. Tell me about this.
All right. Well, never-ending bottle of wine grants a bonus to all intelligence and wisdom-based skills. And I just say bonus because it really depends on what type of game you're playing, right?
Sure.
For there is truth in a bottle of wine.
Okay.
Hence the name. That's what it means.
Vino Veritas. That makes sense.
Yeah. The curse. Everybody likes being correct. The urge to indulge in the bottle rises every time you use the bottle more than once a day. You must make a check to prevent becoming dependent on the bottle and using it for every interaction with a skill check.
Hmm. How do you end the curse?
Well, you see.
This is going to be good.
Once you have fallen to the curse, right? Because if you succeed a couple of times, you're still fine.
Sure.
Ish. You're going to need not just a remove curse, but you're going to need a greater restore. Because you've got to get the wine out of your system. And wine's technically a poison, and remove curse doesn't do anything for poison.
It's got to do a little detox in addition
yes,
to.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I get that.
Got
to
sober up. If they cure the curse while you're still poisoned, in quotation marks, right? If you're still drunk, it doesn't seem to have any effect. But if they just sober you up and don't remove curse, it also doesn't remove the urge to drink. Got to do both.
Hmm. So it's a 1-2 shot.
Yep. Your next one.
Ah, yes.
Is Samuel's sarcastic sort of show tunes.
Oh, you know I love alliteration, man.
Indeed.
This lightweight weapon looks exactly like a dancing sword. If you don't know what a dancing sword is, it's a D&D thing where you set the sword off, it dances, and basically starts to attack other people.
Right.
That's what it does. And in combat, it functions very similarly to a dancing sword. However, Samuel's sarcastic sword of show tunes has a hidden secret. The spirit of the deceased Bard Samuel lurks within the blade.
So what's the curse of this thing?
Well, the spirit of the dead Bard Samuel, of course.
Sure.
The spirit of the bard wishes more than anything else to be heard by his adoring fans at the most inopportune moments, so sneaking past a dragon.
Sure.
Or during a tough negotiation, or anytime you really want to be silent, the sword begins to blurt out random show tunes and songs from musicals loudly and proudly. And it should be noted, I hear Samuel's voice very much like Fred Schneider from the B-52s, so think Rock Lobster, and that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Sure. I actually was thinking Michigan J. Frog.
Oh, WWB. That works too.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my bottle.
I would be fine with either of those. Additionally, there is a 50% chance for the sword during combat to stop dancing, i.e. fighting,
right,
and instead begin to interpretive dance,
mm,
which it does by flailing about in a very artistic way, which can potentially damage anyone within a 10-foot radius of the sword. So, could be good, could be bad.
Yeah.
The curse can only be lifted by finding all of the 25 original copies of Samuel the Bard's musicals.
Okay. So now it's a
So to get rid of the sword, you've got to
become a comic book collector.
You have to collect all of his musicals.
Sure. So what's Samuel's deal? What's his lore?
So the lore is, in life, Samuel the Bard was an excellent performer, but every play he performed suffered bad luck. The truth of the matter was that his understudy Loam was jealous and did everything he could to get Samuel cast from the local bard's college. Had an understudy that just hated him.
Sure.
One summer evening, dressed as Samuel, he picked several fights with the local toughs and fled before they could strike. They tracked Loam down to the theater where Samuel was performing and dealt a death blow to the bard, who they thought had provoked him because he was dressed like Samuel. Sure. Samuel was in the middle of a rendition of his classic play, Two Lovers with an Undead Ostrich, and was so engaged in his performance that he never even felt the death blow. His soul found the first object that could contain it, which happened to be the dancing sword he owned,
right,
and has been there ever since. So, he doesn't actually know he's dead.
Okay.
His soul is in the sword and just thinks that every day is a performance. And so, by collecting all of the plays, you then put him to rest.
Very nice.
I like it. I think it would work very well.
Sure.
Now, we've got a couple more. This one is a quicker one. I like to call this Writer's Wrath.
Okay.
This is a small writing pen, which can duplicate any written work as fast as the reader can read it.
I wish.
How useful would that be?
Oh, yeah.
God, trust me, I want one too.
I'm going to fall under this curse. All right, hit me, man.
So the curse is, should the pen ever be removed from the resting place, which is the library of the sacred fish,
okay,
then the writer's wrath will occasionally, 20% chance or so, sprout razor blades, causing nasty wounds, severing fingers, slashing palms, you know, deal the damage as appropriate. If you want to make it a minor artifact or a major cursed item or what have you, doesn't matter, right? It deals slashing damage, might lop your finger off.
Okay.
Additionally, there's a 20% chance that it will replace whatever weapon the character happens to have in their hand during combat.
Because the pen is mightier than the sword?
Now, you see where I'm going with this.
Yeah, I'm with it.
Yeah. So the lore behind that is good pens are hard to find, and lots of assholes steal them. That's it. You're a sage, you've got this really nice writing utensil, and everybody wants to steal your pen. So many sages happen to protect their favored writing devices to make sure that they never leave the intended building.
I can understand that.
And sometimes you just have to wear some chainmail gloves for a good pen.
Indeed. That was literally my first thought as soon as you were reading it was, you know, I've got some cut gloves at the house.
Oh, yeah. Now, speaking of writing and drawing and stuff, you have an artist cursed item as well.
Indeed.
It's called Artist Exposure.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that.
The Artist Exposure it's a vest, right? It's an art vest. It's got some pockets, but it also keeps paint or clay or whatever off your clothes.
Sure. Keeps shit clean.
Yeah. This item will grant you unparalleled skill in your own personal style of artistry. You'll be recognized as a master everywhere you go, paid in praise, awards, and admiration.
Sounds great. What's the curse?
You will die starving and frozen in a gutter because no one actually provides you with coin or money or yin.
So the curse is that no one's going to give you any money so long as you own this object?
Yeah. It's exposure.
So it's exposure in the art sense, but also you die of exposure.
Correct.
I love the play on words there.
Thank you. Curse removal. You must find a patron that will provide you with shelter, food, and materials before you can remove the vest.
Hmm.
The lesson of this particular item is that artists cannot eat and drink exposure. Pay your fucking artists.
So it was created by a very angry artist that died of exposure.
Yes. Or even it's the angry soul of an artist that's inhabiting the vest.
Could be both.
Yeah. So next we have the ever hungry spoon.
Yes. Now, interestingly enough, this was a second and third edition item. Fifth doesn't have it anymore.
No.
Nourishing spoon.
Merlin's.
Spoon. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think they have it. They might have it. I don't know. I put a spin on it.
Sure.
Also known as Brandon's spoon, this plain wooden spoon, when dipped into an empty bowl, creates a flavorless gruel which provides as much nourishment as one day's worth of rations.
Okay.
Pretty much the same thing as the...
as the original Merlin's, right?
Yeah. It's called Brandon's spoon, or the ever-hungry spoon, and the reason is the curse. Each time the spoon is used, it consumes one day's worth of food or ration randomly within a 30-foot radius of the spoon.
So you're eating your ally's food.
Yeah, so you're in a dungeon, you've got no food, okay, I got my spoon. It's now consuming other people's food. Disappears at random. Think of all the chaos that can cause.
Sure.
To remove the curse, one must abstain from eating for one full week and provide a meal to at least 10 hungry humanoids. Which is possible, totally possible. Sure. But you're going to take the step drop to that, and you got to find 10 hungry people to feed.
Well, if you only have to feed them over the course of a week, that wouldn't be too bad.
No, but if you're in a dungeon...
Sure. No, well, then you have to feed your allies.
10 hungry people. You better have 10 hungry allies.
Well, over the course of the week, you just feed 4 allies, you know, 2.5 times.
Eh, probably could work that out mechanically. The story behind this is Brandon, the wizard, was a wizard, of course, a genius and a glutton. While powerful, he had no interest in sharing his bounties of his adventuring with other people, even his own adventurers, and he often looked upon those who survived without anything with scorn and contempt. He's a right bastard.
Yeah.
Brandon and his team went to the Abyss on a grand adventure towards the end of his life, and upon reaching the Abyss with the rest of his party, they were subsequently besieged by demons and captured. Go to the Abyss, get captured. It happens.
Yeah.
Happens to the best of us, right? Roll up on a demon, and they just happen to have, you know, 25 of his buddies.
I'm going to banish myself.
Yeah.
It's one of the that's what I would do,
sure, but obviously he was not a very smart wizard. He was a genius, but not particularly bright when it comes to common sense. Now, Brandon's tormentors, in a moment of inspiration for demons, force-fed Brandon to death with his magical spoon.
Which shouldn't be hard, since each bite fills you full of day full of food.
Exactly.
Yeah.
His spoon was then tossed aside, where it slipped from the abyss to plague other worlds.
Sounds good.
Lots of fun, very flavorful,
yeah.
Easy to use, just a spoon, right?
Yeah.
Could be major, could be minor, depending upon the powers.
I got to be honest, as a person who likes good food, if somebody in my party is using a spoon that makes flavorless gruel,
you're going to murder them.
That takes my delicious food and replaces it with gruel, yeah, they're going to have a lot more to worry about that spoon than its curse.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm going to kill them with it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so lastly.
This is our final cursed item of the evening, the Peep of Eternity.
All right, so this is a small faded yellow confection of sugar and marshmallow. It's seen better days.
This is exactly what you guys think. It is a marshmallow peep.
Right. Upon attuning the Peep of Eternity, you can summon a dire duck for the better part of a day.
I love everything about this.
Isn't a dire duck just a goose?
Maybe. It needs to be a dire duck. It's a duck.
Okay.
It's a big yellow duck that looks like a marshmallow peep.
All right. So what's the curse on this thing, man?
The semi-petrified candy slowly turns you to stone over the course of a week, starting with the extremities and then moving upwards. Because it's a petrified peep.
Yeah. Sure. And how do we get rid of this thing?
So the only way to actually remove the curse is by eating the peep, which peeps are gross, guys. That's why I wrote this.
I knew this was your anti-peep propaganda.
Yeah, it's my anti-peep. You know what? That's fine. People don't like candy corn. I love candy corn, by the way. It's the...
We
love
candy corn.
Yes. Peeps suck. Yeah. There you go.
No, I agree with you on the peep too, but it is anti-peep propaganda. So regardless.
Eating the peep would be the curse enough. I mean, that's torture.
Right. Yeah. I'm with it because peeps are awful. All right. So the lore on this thing is, let's see here. What do we got? We got Gazmalon the Sugar Queen was a sorceress of great power and had a huge sweet tooth. She left these various Kabbalic confections all over the long dead realm, which had cast her out for various wicked acts like making peeps.
Like making peeps. Yeah, yeah. That was really the biggest thing.
I figured.
So it was, yeah, think about it. Sorceress of great power, loved her sweet stuff, made a peep. Everybody hated her. Maybe she killed some people as well. And in retaliation, left these just at random places in the realm.
Sure.
So, you know, they come across a peep.
They don't want to eat it.
They don't want to eat it. They just pick it up. It's beautiful, right? It's jeweled. Because, you know, peeps are pristine. They're pretty looking.
Yeah, they're neat looking.
Got, you know, confectional sugar. It looks like little glitter on them and stuff like that. They touch it. They turn to stone. Which leaves a nice, fine statue holding the peep.
Yeah.
Where someone else comes along and says, well, look at the statue holding a peep. I'm going to grab this peep. And then they turn to stone. And pretty soon.
Over the course of the week. But they don't know that they're supposed to eat it. And even if they did know, they'd have to choose between being a statue and eating a peep.
Yeah. And no one's going to eat the peep.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you'll pick it up and be like, oh, thank you. You've given me a peep, or I have a peep. And then you slowly turn to stone and you're like, do I want to turn to stone or eat a peep? I guess I'm going to be a statue.
See, these are people who are thinking on small scales. The way to solve this riddle is summon the dire duck, have it kill you. You don't have to turn to stone, and you don't have to eat the peep. Boom.
Nice. Way to go you, man. I like that.
The real way to solve this, if this were Dungeons & Dragons, would be use prestidigitation to create flavor. You make the flavor not peep flavored, and then you eat the peep.
Hmm. I like this as well.
But I would say since it's a curse item, it doesn't work. But you don't know that until it's in your mouth.
Nah, it's a peep. You gotta eat it. You're done.
Yep. What, constitution saves to choke it down?
I would definitely roll for constitution save for that, yeah. So there you have it. Several different cursed items that you can use to spice up your game. Some rules that we've put together that allow you to create some cursed items to, once again, spice up your game.
Yes, indeed.
Did we miss something? Write to us, info@goblinscorner.com, or you can reach me, eric@goblinscorner.com, or
me, matt@goblinscorner.com.
We're on all the things. Matt, what are some things that we're on?
We're on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and Pinterest and Twitch.
As Goblins Corner.
And Instagram.
As The Goblins Corner. Do you like our show? Subscribe to the podcast on your favorite player, YouTube and Twitch.
And if you guys could give us a 5-star or drop us a review on Apple or Podchaser or wherever you find any of your podcasts and YouTube as well.
That's right.
We'd very much appreciate it. It helps feed the hungry algorithm.
And if you don't, we're going to feed you a peep.
Yes. Boxes of peeps arriving at your house.
Yeah.
And if you like peeps, you probably don't like candy corn, and we would send you candy corn, but we're not going to because we're going to eat it.
That's all the time we have for tonight. Once again, my name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
We'll see you next time.
Good night.
The Goblin's Corner has been written and produced by Eric Holden and Matt Staples.
Music by D20.
This is a Subterranean production. Bump the boop da ba, bump the boop da ba.